Now we are going to go into a wonderful moment where we listen to God's word. So one more time, turn to your neighbor and in your local dialect, tell them, I am ready to receive from God. In your local dialect, I am ready to receive from God. If you don't know your local dialect, Kai, I am ready to receive from God. It is my absolute joy and honor to call upon my brother and my friend, Mr. Bwalya, who's going to share the word of God. Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. The presider has just made an observation that we are not looking happy. Do we have a lot of problems? The Bible is telling us, do not worry. Don't be anxious for anything. Amen. God is good. So whatever we are going through, the Lord is ever with us. He knows it. Nothing catches God by surprise. You know that? Everything that we are going through, the Lord knows. Amen. Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before this moment to listen from you, to feed from thy word, because the Bible says in Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from your mouth. We pray that, God, you make us ready to accept your word. Ready, Lord Father, to be transformed by your word. We pray that, God, everything you have for us will not be in vain, but something that, God, we're going to grasp and be used to change our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Bless us, begin with us, and end with us. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue looking from the book of Philippians. In this month, the first preacher that we had in the first week was looking from the book of Philippians chapter 1. The second preacher in the second week, he was in chapter 2 of Philippians. And the third preacher, that was last week, he was taking us from chapter 3. Today, we'll have a sermon from chapter 4. And the theme for today's, the topic for today's sermon is steadfastness in Christ. Amen. Steadfastness in Christ. What is steadfastness, or what does the word steadfast mean? Steadfast means to hold your ground, to stand firm, or to stand fast where you are not swayed by what comes. You are not moved by the turbulences that are coming in your life. You are there grounded, and nothing can move you away from the position you've taken. That is steadfastness. Now, we are talking about steadfastness in Jesus Christ. Amen. Every one of us in here, I believe we've believed in Jesus Christ. We've accepted him as our Lord and personal Savior. But there are things that make us sometimes doubt if at all truly he is our Lord. We are going through a lot of troubles. We are going through a lot of problems. And because of that, we question the existence, not only the existence, we sometimes question the power of God to save us. I don't know, maybe you haven't gone through miseries, you haven't gone through pains, you haven't gone through tribulations, but I must tell you, as long as you are living, you are going to experience them. Amen. And this is what the Apostle Paul is trying to address or admonish the Philippians, so that they should be grounded in the faith that they've believed. They should be grounded in Jesus Christ. He says, brethren, the people that I love, The people to whom I have got great joy, the people to whom I expect a crown, I ask you, remain steadfast. Shall we read Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 6? Open your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4, 4 to 6. The Bible says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, I'm reading from KJV. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I'll go up to 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your heart and your mind. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Now, let us get to know why the Apostle Paul is saying this to the Philippians. If you read chapter 1, you understand that Paul was telling the Philippians to secure their mind. He was saying, have one mind. In chapter 2, he was saying, you have to have a single mind. In fact, chapter 2 is saying a submissive mind. In chapter 1, a single mind. And in chapter 3, he's saying have a spiritual mind. Now, in chapter 4, he's saying you should have a secure mind. Why is he addressing us to have a secure mind? It's because of what he has seen in the church. The church has been terrorized. The church that he established in Philip has been terrorized by false teachers. He has also seen what is happening in the church. If you read in verse 2, there is division in the church. There are two sisters, there are two mothers who are not getting along. There is Euodia and Syntyche. They are not talking, but they belong to the same church. And he wants to address them, that you should be people that are secure. You shouldn't mind about small problems. In fact, you should just have a single mind in the Lord. Have one mind in the Lord. Amen. There are some people in here who do not talk to each other, but they belong to the same fellowship. There are some people in the family. You belong to one family, but you don't talk to one another. In fact, some have vowed that we are going to talk to each other in heaven, and who knows if at all you're going to make it to heaven. Amen. If you are not talking to your brother, you're not talking to your sister, how possible is it that you are going to make it to heaven? So this is what Paul is talking about. But again, look at what the condition in which Paul is in. He's writing this letter from prison. He's in prison in Rome. Some say he was under house arrest, but others say he was right in prison, incarcerated, and he's talking to the people, encouraging the people that are free, the people that have got liberty. He's telling them to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. I find this very intriguing. You know, you are going through pain. The church you established is not doing well. The church you established has been ravaged by false teachers. You are in prison and you are full of joy. This is the joy I want us to know about. What is this joy? What is giving Paul this peace even when he's in prison? I tell you, most of us, when we experience something that we don't expect, we question the existence of God. We question the power of God. And today, I want us to address three imperatives. I'm calling them imperatives because they are mild commands from Paul. He's telling the church in Philippi what they should do so that they continue being steadfast. They continue experiencing the joy of God. They continue experiencing the peace that God has given them, the peace of God. And these three imperatives, the first one is to have consistent joy. Amen. Having what? Consistent joy. Now, brothers and sisters, there is a difference between joy and happiness. Most of us, we chase after happiness. Amen. Who doesn't want to be happy in here? You want a new dress? You want a new relationship? You want a new car? You want a high-paying job? That gives happiness. Amen. But Paul is talking about joy. And what is this joy? Joy is that everlasting, I'll use this term loosely, everlasting emotion that comes as a result of you knowing that God is able to fulfill his promises. Hallelujah. That everlasting emotion, you are happy, even if things are not going well, there's that inside you, you are saying it is well with my soul because God says, I know the plans I have for you. These plans that I have for you are not plans to harm you, but plans to prosper you, plans to give you a better future, plans to give you a better life. Amen. So even if you are going through a problem, you know that God will come through for me. That is joy. In fact, Isaiah chapter 63, he calls this joy the oil of joy. He likens the joy to oil. Do you know what oil does? You know the oil? It is a lubricant. You know the lubricant? When things are, they're in friction, what do you put so that that friction can be eased? You use oil. Amen. If you have a squeaking door, the door is making noise. When you are opening it, it makes a squeak sound. When you are closing it, it makes a squeak sound. What should you use? You use oil. You pour oil, on there, and the squeak sound will not be there. Today we have Christians who have a squeak behavior. They complain about everything and anything. Hallelujah. Christians that complain, Paul is saying, use the oil of joy. Amen. And that complaint will not be there. The usher tells you, sit here, you complain. The usher directs you, you complain. Everyone, you complain. Even you complain about yourself. You look yourself in the mirror, you are still complaining. Can you have joy about that? You can't have joy. Amen. Paul is saying, rejoice. And he emphasizes it again by repeating, saying, again, I say, rejoice. Amen. This oil, most of the time, it works when there is heat. Those that have got vehicles, when your vehicle doesn't have oil, what happens to the engine? It knocks, eh? First, the first sign will be the knock sound. Then it ceases to operate. You as Christians, you need to have this oil. Self-generated oil so that you continue operating even when there is heat in you. Amen. There is heat. There is turmoil. Things are not moving well. You continue operating. Ladies, you know how to cook. I've come to learn how to cook here in Goma. And I bought pork last time. I wanted to cook. Thank God, because there's Google. So I went to Google to check how you can prepare pork nicely. For me, I wanted to add oil. Then Google was telling me, no, you shouldn't add oil when frying pork. Why shouldn't I add oil? Someone to tell me? It has its own oil. Amen. When it is put under pressure, under heat, it generates its oil. That's how a Christian should behave. When you pass through a problem, generate your own oil. Start going. Don't lose your focus. Just continue generating your oil. People will be even wondering, where is he getting the courage? Where is he getting this happiness when he's going through a lot of problems? That is joy. Amen. The joy that comes from God. The joy that Nehemiah in chapter 8, verse 10 says, the Lord is the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. The joy of the Lord should be your strength. So that is what Paul is telling the people at the church of Philip. They should have this joy, endlessly joy, consistent joy. Let not the circumstance determine the joy that you have. The second one is outward testimony. This is the point that Paul addresses again to the church at Philippi. As a Christian, you should have this outward testimony. This is found in verse 5 of chapter 4. Paul is telling the believers that let your moderation, let your gentleness be seen by all. I know most of us are gentle, but we do not show this gentleness to others. Amen. But Paul is saying, let your gentleness be extended to others. Now, if you read exactly how it was written in Greek, it's not necessarily the word gentle. This means forbearance. It means patience. It means graciousness in you. You know, some of us Christians, we are so legal, so stiff for nothing, even on things that do not matter. You shouldn't be stiff. Sometimes exercise what I would call the sweet reasonableness. Amen. Sweet reasonableness. Someone, you know that, yes, you have all the right, but you can still forego some of the right so that you make peace with another person. But you are stiff, you are legalist, you don't want to move. No, move sometimes. Be considerate, be gentle. Let this generosity come out of you and show it to the people. Amen. This is what Paul is addressing. If you have this sweet reasonableness, you will not have a conflict with people. There's a perfect example in Genesis, it should be 37, where Abram and his nephew, Lot, we're about to have a misunderstanding over the piece of land. You know what happened? Abram, because of that sweet reasonableness in him, he says, we are brothers. We are relatives. There's no way we can have a problem because of a piece of land. What are we going to do? Pick the choicest piece of land that you want, and I'm going to choose mine. That is sweet reasonableness. Even when Abraham was the one who was entitled to the land, but he gave a leeway to his nephew to choose. Amen. That is sweet reasonableness. So Paul is saying, for you Christians, for you people at Philippi, for you the Philippians, you need to have this sweet reasonableness. You need to be gentle with one another. Show that generosity, show that kindness towards one another. Hallelujah. And the third, which is the last point, Paul is saying you need to have dependence upward, dependence on God. Most of us Christians, we've believed God, we've trusted God, but it is a lip service. If you depend on God, no matter what will come your way, you will know that there is nothing bigger than God. We always sing, be magnified, amen. God is bigger than anything, any problem that has got every name. In Philippians, I think there is chapter 2, where they said, every knee shall bow at the mention of his name, amen. Every knee, as long as it has got a name, and that name cannot be above the name of Jesus Christ, that thing should be subjected to the submission of God. Amen. So, Paul is saying, depend on God. You know, there was one time when Jesus Christ was about to go, he was addressing his disciples. He told them, I think it's in John chapter 14, verse 27. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Amen. If you read in John chapter 16, verse 33, it will tell you, he's saying, even though in this world you're going to have trouble, I have already overcome the world. I've overcome what? The world. So if you depend on God, no matter what you'll be going through, know that the Lord has overcome the world. Amen. The Lord has overcome the world. Those that watch wrestling, anyone who watches wrestling, I'm a ardent fan of wrestling here, WWE, You know Roman Reigns? And if at all you're an ardent fan of wrestling, you are going to see something. It's like the winner is predetermined. Amen. The winner is determined before the wrestlers get into the ring. But that does not exclude them from being tossed around. That does not exclude them from being thrown outside of the ring. That does not exclude them from being speared. As a Christian, even though you've believed in God, that does not exclude you from being troubled. So do not worry. The Lord is with you. Just believe in God, believe in His power, and all is going to be well. The writer of the song, I have a friend in Jesus, he says, take everything to the Lord in prayer. So in earnest prayer, shall we take everything to Him and we are not going to be worried? That's what the Paul is trying to tell us. Shall we not be worried? But everything, let us ask God. Let us ask God so that He can remove that worry, so that we can have that peace, so that we can experience His power. God bless His word.
We thank God for the word. Another clap, please, another clap. We are encouraged that in all things we have to rejoice. So don't get tired. For the last time, turn to your neighbor. For the last time, turn to your neighbor and again in your local dialect, say, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in your local dialect. Rejoice in the Lord always.